Hallmark Movies and Mysteries presents. Title, Past Malice, an Emma Fielding mystery. Nighttime. An old man in pajamas and a bathrobe dashes out of his front door, glancing behind him. He takes off around the side of his house. He steps down onto a garden path and then runs through a grove of trees, constantly looking behind him. He runs a little further into the distance, then pauses, looking up at the sky. An owl swoops down from the sky toward the ground. Now, the man lays on the grass, motionless. His eyes and mouth are closed. Text, 3 years later. Daytime. Two dismountable tents are set up in the dirt beside a cliff. Heavy machinery sits nearby. A team of young people sift through the dirt. A long ladder leans on the rock face. At the top, a group of people gather, including cameramen and reporters. Carrie approaches Joe at a table.
I can't keep them waiting much longer.
You know Professor Fielding. She'll make her appearance when she's ready.
Okay.
Emma climbs the ladder and appears on the cliff. She wipes her brow, smiling.
I said check one more thing.
Now, Emma addresses the crowd.
Professor Fielding, what is the significance of this discovery?
Well, these arrowheads and sharpened stones prove that this was a hunting ground for several primitive human tribes.
What's next for you?
Well, a mandatory vacation. Although, I'd rather keep digging.
Professor Fielding, how does this dig compare to your find in Rochester in 2008?
Well, I'd say this one is much better. This time, we did not dig up an old septic tank.
Emma shoots a glance at the woman, who smiles. Now, Emma poses for a photo, holding a glass case, with Carrie and Joe.
Thank you. Thanks, guys.
Adele! Look at you all professional!
How are things at the Massachusetts Historic Trust?
Oh, I rule it with an iron fist.
An iron fist with manicured nails? Oh. Nice!
I guess I'm not down in the dirt like we used to be, but you know historical preservation has always been my interest.
I'm glad things are going well.
Well, actually, Emma, they're not. I need your help.
What's wrong?
Have you heard of the Chandler Castle?
Oh, that great place up in Essex County? Wanted to dig around in there my whole life. The owners won't allow it.
Well, I'm working on a deal that would allow the state to purchase it through the trust.
Oh, bet there's some fantastic finds up there.
The archaeologist on site, and I really wish it were you, claims to have made a quote-unquote groundbreaking discovery.
What discovery?
Well, that's just it. He won't tell anyone. He says he's going to reveal it next week.
That's an odd way to go about it. Who is he?
Professor Thomas Webster.
Oh.
You know him?
Just by reputation. He's a bit of an eccentric.
Yeah, that's a very nice word for what he is.
And there's another thing. The one big artifact he's found so far is missing.
Wow.
Adele shows a photo of a golden dagger.
Stolen?
Looks like it.
And a number of artifacts, paintings, sculptures, all missing from the castle in the last week.
This is serious. You called the police?
Yeah, I let the sheriff know and he's investigating it, but what would really make me feel better is if I had an archaeologist on site I could trust.
Okay.
I think something very wrong is going on at Chandler Castle.
Well, as you heard, I do have a week off coming up.
Mm-hmm.
You know I can't resist a mystery.
Ah, I was counting on it.
I'll come up Saturday with my grad students. And I do want to bring in another consultant, someone who knows more about art theft than I do.
Whatever you need. The castle's huge and they'd be happy to host us. I think it's best if we stick together.
Be just like old times.
They smile. Downtown in a city. We fly over a large green field. Text, Gloucester, Massachusetts. Emma parks her van outside a large castle. Adele stands near a Rolls Royce.
Well,
what do you think?
An impressive structure.
It's pretty spooky, though, you have to admit.
Spooky is not a term we use much in archaeology.
Well, we sure use it a lot in tourism. Now, this castle even comes equipped with its own legendary curse.
Does it?
Yeah, something about ever since the colonial era, all the Chandlers dying one by one.
And have they?
Well, they're all dead, except the one who's alive.
How'd they die?
Old age, I think.
spooky.
A man walks out.
You'll pay for this, Webster. I'll make sure of it.
Look where you're going.
Hey!
The man glowers at Emma.
Who is that? A friend of Professor Webster's, I think? That was his friend? When you meet him, you'll understand.
They enter the castle. The Rolls-Royce pulls out of the driveway, past the manicured topiary. Inside, the foyer has a vaulted ceiling and an impressive double staircase.
Wow.
A man in a suit.
Hello, Miss Adele.
Hello.
I'm Professor Fielding, I presume.
You presume correctly.
Let me show you to your room.
Is that the butler? Actually, that's the house manager, German Arlington, but he thinks he runs the place.
Oh.
Later, Emma walks down a castle hallway. Sherman approaches from behind.
Professor Fielding, I trust you found your way.
Got a little turned around at the solarium, but I figured it out.
They're expecting you at the library.
Either way. That way I won't have to leave a trail of breadcrumbs.
Do you know the history of the castle?
Why don't you tell me?
The castle was built by Corvus Chandler in 1867. But the Chandlers have owned this land from time immemorial. Corvus constructed the castle on the site of the Chandlers' ancestral home.
Sherman pauses.
There he is.
Oil painting.
Though Corvus is long dead, his spirit lives on in this house.
Sherman continues.
Nice place, Corvus.
In the painting, the gray-bearded man glowers. Adele stands in the library with a mug.
When a fire destroyed a portion of the old house, Corvus tore it down and built this castle, an imitation of the Walter Scott books he loved in his youth. He's
not telling you that silly story, is he? You know, old man Corvus, he never read a book in his life. In fact, half these volumes, they're just props. Adele, you are looking as lovely as ever. And don't tell me, is this Professor Fielding?
It is.
Bray Chandler, you do not look like an archaeologist.
I know. You were expecting Indiana Jones.
You look very good in that.
I tried. I do not.
Adele, have you reconsidered my offer to go horseback riding or have a candle at dinner or, say, swim the moonlight?
No. You don't give up, though, do you?
Oh, yeah. It's part of my charm.
Bray?
A young woman enters, clutching a tablet.
We have a problem.
Some more stuff missing?
You better come and see this.
Now, they examine a hanging nail on the wall.
Which one was it?
An Effie Church landscape from the Hudson River School.
Ooh, that sounds pricey.
Yeah, another church went for about $80,000 last year at an auction.
Ouch. So, how many have been stolen?
Well, I'm still taking inventory, but with the Fulper pottery pieces missing, that makes 8.
What would I do without you, Perry? Oh, how rude of me. Professor Fielding, this is my executive assistant, Perry Quinn.
You're here to keep an eye on Professor Webster.
I'm just here to consult with him.
Right. Consult.
And keep an eye on.
We don't trust him, Professor Fielding.
Are you talking about me?
Professor Webster.
Professor Fielding. I read your latest paper on the early Dutch settlers in Newfoundland. A very nice try.
Nice. That's what I was going for.
I understand you're here to consult with me.
That's right.
Well, perhaps we should speak in my lab, away from the prying eyes of amateurs.
Lead the way.
Emma shoots a glance at Adele. Now, Emma and Webster chat outside.
It's just a makeshift lab. I'll build something more permanent later.
You will?
To showcase my discoveries, these are just fragments that I found in the basement.
Some wonderful finds.
It's garbage.
You can learn a lot from garbage.
I have more significant finds elsewhere.
You gonna share them with me?
In time, I need to keep them out of the hands of the fools.
The fools?
Them. Bray Chandler? He's only interested in how much money he can make. Perry Quinn, she just wants to make sure the silverware is accounted for. Adele Fisher would be happy if I found the lost ark on the property because then she could bring in more tourists and Sherman Arlington. She just wants everyone to leave so he can have the castle to himself.
Wow. Do you treat everyone with so much contempt?
They've earned it.
You know, they can throw you off the estate at any time.
They'd never do that. I know too much.
Really?
I'm an archaeologist. It's my job to dig up secrets. Do you have any idea how much money Bray owes and to whom? You see, I have information like that on all of them. They'll never get rid of me.
Sounds like blackmail.
I prefer to think of it as leverage.
What about that missing dagger? Does your archaeological experience tell you where to look for that?
Why don't you ask your friend Adele about that?
What are you implying?
I don't imply. I hint. Have you ever seen the dagger?
It's old, circa 15th century. You found this here?
It's called an athame, a witch's dagger. References to it appear in a tome from the Middle Ages, the Key of Solomon.
Are you one of those people who think colonial America was full of witches?
You've heard of Salem.
What, people accused of witchcraft, not actual witches. Come on.
I was wrong about you. You're as foolish as the rest of them.
Oh. Wait, so that's it? You're done with me?
You don't understand what I'm saying. Whoever stole that knife did it for one of two reasons. Either because they knew how valuable it was, or...
Or they wanted to perform a spell with it?
You said it, not me.
Oh.
You see, this castle is built on the foundation of a much older structure. Much older. Down there in the basement where I'm digging, near the centuries-old crypt, I'm finding the most amazing things.
Fine. Let me see them.
No. Not now. It's not time. Tonight. Meet me at 8 o'clock. I'll show you then.
Webster enters a room and slams the door in Emma's face. She tries to open it but can't. Connor approaches the front door of the castle, passing under the stone archways, and rings a doorbell. Sherman answers the door.
You rang.
Wow, you said that. Agent Connor, FBI.
Connor!
Professor Fielding!
Hey!
Hey.
Hi, Jim Connor, FBI Antiquities Division, Adele Fisher. Hi!
Hello.
Wow, you know an FBI agent.
She actually helped me solve a case recently.
You admit that I helped you?
Well, as a consultant.
Thank you so much for coming.
When you asked for my assistance, I was really happy to come.
Emma and Connor smile at each other. Adele furrows her brow, looking at them. Now, in a sitting room, Connor examines photos. Adele and Emma sit across the room.
So, why didn't you tell me you had a dashing FBI agent on speed dial? And why aren't you making a move?
It's a working relationship.
Oh. Mm-hmm. Well, I think that you should be working on that relationship.
I don't know. I think it would be complicated.
Well, you know, a wise mentor once told me, Adele, if it were easy, it wouldn't be worth it.
Wow. That mentor of yours is really smart.
Oh, she is. You don't want to get on her bad side.
Emma grins. Emma turns and returns to Connor, who holds up a picture of the dagger.
Hey, what's your opinion about that?
French or Italian, dates from the 15th century.
That's 1400s, right?
That's right.
Why do you do it like that? It's very confusing.
I will bring that up at the next historical dating convention.
Could you?
You're joking, right?
A little. So, all the rest of the stuff he found is from the 17th century.
Yeah, it doesn't really fit.
Ah. Do you think Webster lied about finding it here?
Not necessarily. It could be somebody brought it over from England as an heirloom.
Who do you think stole it?
I don't really have enough information to make that kind of hypothesis.
What'd your gut tell you?
At Harvard, we were trained to trust the facts, not our gut.
Really? At Quantico, they told us the exact opposite. So, give it a try.
Not getting anything?
Keep trying.
I'll tell you this. Webster's hiding something.
Yes. Yeah. You're learning.
Oh.
Nighttime at the castle. Emma stands beside a large clock in the foyer, which reads 8 o'clock. Connor stands with hands on hips.
It's 8 o'clock. Wasn't Webster supposed to come meet you?
I think so.
What don't you like about him?
I never said I didn't like him.
You didn't have to.
Okay. I think he's full of himself. He thinks he's always right and everybody else is always wrong.
So in other words, he's an archaeologist.
Occupational hazard. Similar to FBI agents.
Point taken.
What do you say we go surprise him?
We?
I think you should meet him.
They walk down the hall together. As they descend a staircase, the lights go out.
Oh, good timing.
Connor pulls out a flashlight.
Thank goodness for modern technology.
Yeah.
They creep forward together down the hallway. As they approach a stone doorway downstairs, candlelight appears. They enter a large cellar, candles burning everywhere.
Professor Webster?
They walk deeper into the cellar, passing tombs.
Hello?
Professor Webster!
Where is he?
I don't know. Maybe he's in one of these.
Oh, not funny.
I didn't even know places like this existed except in vampire movies.
Oh, Chandlers have been burying their dead here since the 1700s. See?
She indicates a plaque. Obedia Chandler, 1680 to 1722.
Poor guy died young.
No, 40 was a ripe old age back then.
Give me the 21st century any day. How long's Webster been working down here?
A couple weeks. But he's made some fantastic finds.
Emma continues glancing around the cellar. Something catches her attention. A stain of blood is spattered on the wall where the stone brick meets the cement. Connor continues examining tombs. He turns to see Emma crouching by the wall.
You're never gonna find Webster down there.
Is that what your gut tells you?
My eyes tell me.
Emma notices a loose brick. She pulls it away, followed by another. She peers inside the hole. A body lays behind the bricks.
Connor!
Want something?
It's Webster.
Connor approaches and looks in. Emma looks at Connor.
He's dead.
How did he die?
And how did he get in here?
Emma looks into the hole again, noticing Webster laying motionless on the floor. The whole house stands in the tomb, with an officer.
Well, he's dead all right. But how do we get to him?
Bust down the wall.
We could, but I believe that would compromise the crime scene. Am I right, Agent Connor?
Yeah, that's right.
Well, not to mention ruining the integrity of this historic site.
We don't want to do that. No. What we gotta do is we gotta find another way into that room.
Hey, this is really gonna upset my timetable.
I'm sure Professor Webster is very sorry that he's inconvenienced you.
Perry glances at Bray. Later, Perry and Bray stand in a hallway together.
Okay, but what if it's true? What if the curse is real?
The lights flicker.
Oh my.
Mary, come on. There is no curse. You know the lights, they always flicker in this crummy house.
I'm worried about you, Bray.
I'll be fine. After all, I have you looking after me, right?
Emma appears.
Emma. I can call you Emma, right? I need your help. See, I have these insurance documents on all the items that are missing in the castle.
I don't think this is the right time.
They're not exactly archaeological finds, but they're very valuable, so I was hoping you could show them to Agent Connor and just get his input.
Sure.
Emma opens the folder.
It's Athame Dagger.
Yeah, I added that on the list of insurance claims.
Professor Webster just found this a few days ago.
Well, Perry's very efficient.
Adele approaches.
Would you excuse me? I need to talk to Adele for a second.
They step aside.
When the time is right, I want you to let me take over the excavation.
I was hoping you would. Do you think this whole thing could be a significant find?
It could be, or it could be something else. When the police are done with the crime scene, I intend to find out. Maybe something there will point to who killed Webster.
The officer with Connor.
Agent Connor. Now, I'm not too proud to ask for some help if there does happen to be foul play here. Because we're a little short on seasoned investigators.
I'd be happy to oversee the investigation if you want.
The officer nods. Everyone dashes to the upstairs landing and looks over into the foyer. Carrie and Joe stand below with luggage.
Oh. Sorry.
Hi, Professor Fielding.
Where do you want us?
Now, they all descend the staircase into the cellar.
This is just like a classic detective story, a real locked room mystery.
Yeah, but in locked room mysteries, you don't know how the murderer got in there. We don't know how the victim did.
You want to get a better look?
Yes.
Cool. I've been developing a little robotic camera for exploring hard-to-get-to places. It might be just right for this.
Let's see it.
Joe leads them to the brick wall. Now, they all gather around a monitor. Carrie peers through the hole, then joins the others. On screen, Webster's face becomes clear.
Roll it over there, closer to the body.
Oh, you gotta love technology.
Don't you understand? It's all true.
And what's true?
The curse. The curse of the Chandlers. It goes back centuries to the house that was here before the castle.
This'll be good.
You don't really believe in curses, do you?
I didn't. Until now.
They say a witch that was burned at the stake placed a curse on the Chandlers in the 1680s.
Okay, first of all, witches weren't actually burned at the stake in New England. They were hanged. Secondly, Thomas Webster wasn't a Chandler.
Yeah, but he worked for the Chandlers. And so do all of us.
Okay, trust me. The explanation for Webster's death is not supernatural.
Emma,
what does that say?
Connor indicates scribbles on the brick wall on the monitor.
Okay, so just because I'm an archaeologist, you automatically assume I know Latin?
Oh, you don't?
Well, as a matter of fact, I do.
Tell me what that says.
Okay, maledictus qui hunt cuntic creonum firmamentum quod entrat mors illi, which roughly translated means, cursed be he that breaches the vault, death to him that enters, or words to that effect.
I told you it's true. The curse. It's real.
Emma and Connor exchange glances. A transition. Emma wanders the hallway in a t-shirt. Adele approaches carrying a towel.
Hi.
Hey.
Do you know the way to your room?
Turn right at the suit of armor.
Yes.
Oh, do you know that man who was arguing with Webster this afternoon?
No, but Webster has a lot of strange associates.
What was that?
The wind?
No, that was too spooky to be the wind. Sorry, that word again.
I'll give you a pass.
You don't think that it could be the...
What?
The curse.
Go to bed.
Hey, you don't want to be roommates again, do you?
Go to bed, Adele.
Okay.
Adele walks off. Emma turns to the oil painting.
Good night, Corvus.
A close-up of the painting reveals a furrowed brow. Daytime at the castle. Inside a bedroom, the occupant tosses and turns.
Yeah?
You up?
Sort of.
You decent?
Oh, yeah. You know, it's traditional to ask that before you walk in.
Sorry. Here, coffee.
Thank you. What time is it?
It's 6 a.m.
Oh, how long have you been up?
Oh, I slept late. Got up at 5:30.
Oh, you just decided to come over and do some consulting?
Exactly.
Murder?
Yep.
So now I'm officially a consultant?
Yeah, I would have brought you an iron-on badge, but I'm fresh out.
Hey, I saw somebody threaten Webster yesterday before he was killed.
Yeah? Who?
He was middle-aged, well-dressed, and he drove an old silver Rolls Royce.
That's good consulting.
Thank you.
Listen, I'm sorry, but I'm going to have to break down that wall.
What? You can't.
I have to. I have no choice. I'm worried about destroying evidence, too. But I can't find a way to get in there, and I can't just leave Webster lying there.
Lying there.
What?
I'm sorry. It's a teacher in me.
I'll remember that for the exam.
When do you have to knock it down?
Workmen are coming at 11.
Okay, that gives me till 11.
To do what?
Figure out how Webster got in there.
Outside tent.
How'd you sleep?
I never sleep well in a strange house. And this is a pretty strange house. See what I did there?
Yeah, I saw. Did you hear something last night?
Ooh, you mean like the wailing of a doomed soul?
Oh, shut up.
It was the wind. I can't believe anyone in the 21st century actually believes in curses. That stuff was ridiculous back in the Salem days.
Hey, Salem is nothing to laugh at. I've studied the New England witch hunts in great detail. They cost hundreds of innocent people their lives.
Yeah, I know that, but...
Mostly women and midwives who didn't fit into patriarchal society. Not to mention the conflict between traditional farmers and the new mercantile class.
Wow. It's amazing. Mm. You can even make witch hunts sound boring.
Oh, thank you.
A rock falls onto the top of the tent and rolls down the side, falling on the ground in front of Carrie and Joe. Two additional rocks appear. They duck.
What was that?
I don't know. Come on.
Joe and Carrie step out of the tent and look around. They see trees and a gazebo, but no people. They exchange glances. In the cellar, Connor examines the wall.
There's no door.
Emma smiles, standing across the room.
And we saw on the robotic camera that there is no door and there's no point of entry on the inside. So how did Webster get in there?
Connor pushes at the wall.
The body's over here, Professor.
In archaeology, we start at the edges, learn what we can, and move to the center of the site. Didn't they teach you anything like that at Quantico?
Yeah, we called it securing the perimeter.
Ah, you're learning.
Emma strikes a match.
You light more candles over there?
Yes. I like to see the place the way the people saw it back then. They didn't have any electric lights, just candles. Besides, who knows how long the power will last down here?
Connor crouches to the hole. Emma holds the candle up to the wall. She approaches a plaque.
Ah. Look. We're gonna need a crowbar.
She shines the light under the plaque.
What?
Connor touches it.
Hold on.
The plaque reads Nathaniel Chandler, 1732 to 1755. Now, Emma and Connor attempt to pry the plaque off the wall. They manage to loosen it. Behind the plaque is a tunnel.
Where do you think that goes?
Only one way to find out.
Robotic camera?
I prefer the old-fashioned way.
Of course you do.
Yeah, come on.
Wait. I think we should go first.
Why? I have more experience with this than you do.
No. I'm just talking about experience.
Is it because I'm a civilian?
No.
A woman?
There's no right answer to that question.
Okay, here.
Emma grabs a rope.
Okay. Look. I'm going to tie this around my waist, and you're going to hold on to one end.
No.
And then I'm going to tug on it if there's trouble.
What kind of trouble?
Well, you know, if I get stuck on something. Why? What do you think I meant, like a ghost?
No. Maybe a little.
Emma climbs inside. She holds a flashlight as she crawls through the tunnel. Connor purses his lips. Connor feeds the rope through as Emma crawls. Pulls at the rope. It loosens in his hand completely. He threads the entire length of rope back out of the tunnel.
Emma! Emma, you alright? Emma!
Connor runs to the table and gets a flashlight, then crawls into the tunnel.
Emma!
Now, a pile of rocks sit on the floor beside a mortar and pestle. An open book sits nearby. Emma glances around the room.
Emma.
Connor appears.
You okay?
Look at all this.
What is it?
Connor hops down and looks around.
What does it look like?
It's like some kind of altar of some kind.
Close. It appears to be a witch's workshop, circa 1680. It's a wheel of the year, scrying mirror, all the tools of the trade.
Yeah. This was Webster's discovery.
Seems to be.
Yeah.
It's even a journal.
So what do you think?
I don't know.
They turn to Webster's body.
What about the body?
Well, it's your department. What do you think?
Well, I need a medical examiner in here. Looks like he died from stab wounds to the back.
Webster's shoulder is stained in blood.
What is that?
Connor points to a chalk circle on the floor with an 8-pointed star inscribed inside. Outside the castle, several police cars are gathered. Webster's body is rolled away on a stretcher. A medical examiner addresses Connor and the officer.
I would call this an extremely suspicious death, likely murder.
You can tell that without doing an autopsy?
Well, he had a knife wound to his back. There was no knife at the crime scene.
Agent Connor, I think I'm going to take you up on your offer to lead this investigation.
Connor nods. Inside the hidden room, Emma and Adele examine the journal. Joe and Carrie stand nearby.
Now what is that?
That is a Kabbalistic symbol. It represents a stone-throwing spirit.
Stone-throwing?
You don't think?
No, it couldn't be.
Could it?
What's it say?
It looks like the journal of a woman named Abigail Endicott. She was a servant in the Chandler household. Apparently, she was accused of witchcraft and put a curse on the Chandler estate and all its bloodlines.
Whoa!
Well, if it's authentic, which hasn't been determined.
If it is, oh my gosh! That would make this place such a tourist attraction.
Coming through.
Connor crawls inside through the tunnel.
Any sign of a knife?
Nothing yet.
Okay, well, we got it confirmed. Webster died from a stab in his back.
Ah. Maybe by something like this?
Emma shows a photo of the gold dagger.
Yeah, that fits the bill.
Yeah, that's the Athame dagger.
Oh, the witch's dagger. Well, don't look at me. That's what Webster called it.
Question is, who has it now?
And who used it to kill Thomas Webster?
Emma turns to Adele, pondering. Elsewhere, Emma and Connor drive down a residential street and park on the street in front of a suburban house in a cul-de-sac.
So, the guy I saw outside the castle lives here?
That's what we're here to find out.
So how'd you find him? Some fancy detective work?
Well, you mentioned that you saw an old silver Rolls Royce. So I called a friend of mine at the FBI, and he ran a search of this area. And this is the hit that came back.
Wow, that's...
impressive.
I was going to say cheating, but... So are we going to talk to him?
I prefer to talk to him alone. But I need you here to ID him. Make sure it's the same guy.
The stakeout?
Yeah, I guess, you know, in a sense.
Did you get any donuts?
Why would you ask that?
Well, because everybody knows that you eat donuts on a stakeout.
I can't, it's...
Connor produces a paper bag from the back seat.
I knew it!
Emma looks inside, smiling. Connor sips coffee.
You don't have to be right about everything, Professor Fielding.
Believe me, I'm not.
It doesn't seem like it.
I learned a long time ago that if I wanted to be taken seriously as an archaeologist, I had to be sure of myself. Everyone was going to second guess me, so I couldn't second guess myself.
That's smart.
Well.
Connor fidgets.
Emma, do you think maybe you and I could go?
Somebody's coming.
The man exits the house. Emma watches as he approaches the Rolls Royce.
Is that him?
No.
You sure?
Yeah.
A man gets into the Rolls Royce and drives away. Emma and Connor watch as the Rolls Royce drives off.
Okay. I guess it's not gonna be that easy.
Nothing worthwhile ever is.
Emma grins. At the castle, Sherman stands in the foyer, lowering the chandelier. Emma passes.
Hello, Sherman.
Hello, Professor. This isn't the first, you know.
First what?
First murder in this house.
You want to tell me about it?
Old man Chandler was a saint. As long as he was alive, this place was safe. I took care of it. Once he died, it all changed.
And you think he was murdered?
That's not how they told it. You see, old man Chandler had begun to lose touch with the world.
Dementia?
He ran from the house one night, convinced that a ghost was pursuing him. He was found dead in the woods. Apparently, he tripped and hit his head on the stony path.
You don't believe that?
He walked that path every day of his life for 70 years.
What do you think happened?
Some say it was the curse of the Chandlers. I say, look at who inherited and ran through the fortune in less than 3 years.
So, you think Bray killed his father and Webster?
I don't think anything.
I'm just the house manager. Now, if you'll excuse me, Professor, this chandelier won't clean itself.
Emma nods, smiling. Sherman crouches and dips a rag into a bucket, watching Emma walk off. Emma opens the front door and walks out. Daytime. We fly over the countryside. At the castle, Emma walks the grounds outside. She approaches a large solarium. Connor lies on the floor.
Okay?
Yes. It's just my back. Crawling through those tunnels that they did a number on it.
Bothered you for long?
For a while. Ever since I got shot.
You never told me how that happened. You want to talk about it?
I've talked to people about it.
You never talked to me.
Is that going to help?
Wouldn't hurt.
Maybe later. So, who do you think killed Professor Webster?
Well, there's no shortage of people with motives at the castle.
Such as?
Sherman. He hates the idea of the castle being sold. Maybe he thought killing Webster would put the kibosh on that idea.
So the butler did it?
Well, the groundskeeper, but I don't think so.
What else?
What about Bray? Because Webster was hoarding all these valuable antiquities, and maybe Bray wanted to get a hold of them.
Something tells me Bray doesn't want to get his hands that dirty.
Perry?
Why Perry?
She was always talking about the curse.
Oh, so she's doing that to throw us off the trail. But then why did she do it in the first place? What
else? That's
it. What about
Adele?
No. Yes. She hated Webster, too, and he all but accused her of stealing the knife. So maybe she killed him to keep him quiet.
No way.
Why? Because you like her?
Well, I don't think she would kill him. I don't think she would steal the dagger. Why would she? What would she do with it?
I don't know. But I'm going to find out. I'm going to go look back into Webster's past to see if there isn't anything I haven't overlooked.
What should I do?
Well, talk to people. Find out about things.
Investigate.
Yes. No. It's like when you're an archaeologist and you're on site and you use something up. Use a shovel to...
Digging.
Dig up, yes. Yeah. That's it.
Inside the castle sitting room, Adele sits working in a folder. Connor enters.
Miss Fisher.
Hello, Agent Connor.
Hey, can I ask you something?
Of course. Well, what about?
Well, it's about Professor Fielding.
Oh, is it? Okay.
She closes the folder.
No, I wanted to say, if... I mean, how long have you known her?
Agent Connor, are you nervous?
No.
Do you want to know if she's said anything about you? Is that it? Well, I can say this. If you like her, you're on the right path.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, she hasn't said anything. She doesn't share much, but I know her well. I can tell.
You've known her a long time?
I guess it's been about 7 years now. We met on a dig in South America, and I was working for the State Department. I was just an aide. You know, she was already the famous Professor Fielding. But she took me under her wing. She mentored me, and I wouldn't have this job with the Historic Trust if it weren't for her.
Hmm. By the way, how's the trust doing?
Not great. The new administration doesn't think we serve much of a purpose, so they want to cut our funding.
So you must have a lot riding on this acquisition.
I do.
It's rough. Although you could probably get any other job, right?
Could I? How many positions like mine are really out there? I'd have to start over.
Sorry. Okay.
Connor stands.
Did you just interrogate me?
I did. Didn't hurt too much, did it?
Adele grins as Connor walks out. Outside, Emma chats with Perry, who holds her tablet.
Ray showed me the insurance documents. You have an eye for antiques.
Yeah, my house dates back to the 1700s. I mean, it's not grand enough to be of any interest, but you might be able to find what makes it special.
No, I'd love to see it.
Well, I'd like that. I'm worried, Professor Fielding.
About what?
The curse.
Oh.
I know that you think it's silly, but what if it's real? What if something unearthly is being released into the world and it's just gaining in strength?
Oh, Perry.
One man has already died. Bray could be next.
You really care about him, don't you?
He's my boss.
Emma watches as Perry walks off, then cocks her head. Carrie and Joe under the tent.
Examining pottery shards. This is exciting.
I wish we could have a look at that stuff down in the cellar.
You said it.
That stone, for example, it's a scrying mirror. They use stone instead of glass to peer into the future.
You don't really believe that, do you?
No, the point is that they did, back then.
And that cabalistic symbol carved into the wall?
It's the same design that was on the missing dagger and drawn in the dirt near Webster's head.
The symbol of the stone-throwing spirit, which is also represented by an owl.
Cool. Okay, so who do you think was the... Come on.
Joe and Carrie rush out from under the tent. Joe holds a camcorder. Again, they find nothing suspicious in the surroundings.
Okay, we have to tell somebody about this.
Elsewhere, Emma walks on the second floor landing patio. Joe and Carrie dash up the staircase nearby.
Professor Fielding!
Yes?
I thought you should know there's been a rock throwing.
Come again?
At the lab. There have been stones thrown at us.
I tried to record it, but...
Well, who threw them?
That's just the thing. Nobody.
Yeah, there was no one there.
In the downtown village, people walk by a shop on the street called Collectors 2. Inside, a man does a crossword puzzle as Connor enters.
Just a minute!
The man inside looks crestfallen.
It's you.
How you doing, Trap?
I don't go by that name anymore, Connor. I've turned my life around. I'm clean and straight as an arrow.
Uh-huh. You were arrested 2 weeks ago on suspicion of fencing stolen merchandise.
Well, you can't expect a man not to have a few slip-ups. I'm only human. Besides, they let me go.
Because you gave him information. You a criminal informant now, Trap?
I don't like labels.
Listen, anyone been in here trying to sell this week?
In the last week, no. Any more questions?
What's that?
Connor indicates a frame painting.
What's what?
What's what? What's that? If I'm not mistaken, that's an F.E. Church from the Hudson River School.
Good eye.
Thank you. Where'd you get it?
Well, it's not hot if that's what you're thinking. No, sir. I'm selling it on commission.
Really? I happen to know that was taken from the Chandler Mansion. That's the property of Bray Chandler.
Sure it is. He's the one who brought it here, along with all this other stuff.
Connor's eyebrows raise. In the foyer, Sherman raises the chandelier. Emma approaches.
How's the chandelier cleaning going?
Just fine, Professor.
Is there anyone with a slingshot around here, Sherman?
Don't be ridiculous. I'd never permit it. The glass in these windows was pressed in the 1850s. It's irreplaceable.
You take great pride in this house, don't you?
I do.
And you don't like the idea of it being sold to the state?
If your family had worked the same land for generations, how would you feel to see it turned over for the government to run?
How about it being turned over to Bray?
Bray? Of course not. This house should belong to the Arlingtons. We've taken care of it, nurtured it through the centuries. If the world were fair.
But the world isn't fair.
No, it's more like nature. Survival of the fittest, you know.
But Bray isn't the fittest.
Don't make me laugh. Of course, he thinks he's better than everybody, but he's not.
Tell me about it.
Oh, I could. I could tell you things about Bray Chandler.
I don't think you could. I think you're bluffing.
Bluffing? You don't know. You don't know the truth about how old man Chandler really died.
Why don't you say it? Did Bray Chandler?
Bray enters.
My ears are burning.
What are you about to say about me, Sherman?
Sherman tenses. The rope supporting the chandelier loosens, and it crashes down. Emma pushes Bray out of its path. Emma and Bray stand.
You okay?
Just barely. Sherman, did you do that deliberately?
Of course not, sir. The rope slipped.
I see. Right as I was walking underneath it.
I'm afraid so, sir.
Clean this mess up right now.
As you wish, sir.
Bray walks out. Emma begins to walk off. Sherman holds Emma's arm.
I'll tell you more. Meet me at the end of the path behind the house. After dinner.
Emma turns and walks off. Bray stands behind a hallway arch, unseen. Sherman grins. Bray ducks away. Nighttime at the castle. Emma steps out of the front door as Connor pulls up in a car and parks.
Hey! Where have you been?
Following leads. You?
Digging.
Yeah? Did you find anything?
I don't know yet, but Sherman's gonna tell me. I'm meeting him now.
Sherman?
Yeah.
Listen, I found out who's stealing Bray Chandler's antiques, and you're never gonna guess who it is.
Bray Chandler.
You're no fun.
I bet he's stealing from himself, selling the pieces, and collecting on the insurance. Surprised it didn't occur to you.
It did, but I had to confirm it because I'm a professional investigator.
What am I?
You're a gifted amateur.
Yeah, I'll take the gifted. Come on.
Emma leads Connor down a garden path.
Why don't you let me meet Sherman instead?
Why? He wants to talk to me.
I like to protect my consultants.
If I'd known you were going to act like this, I never would have told you about it.
What are you talking about? I'm the FBI.
Please. Okay, you can follow me, and if he pulls out a knife, you can arrest him.
After he stabs you?
Very funny.
No, I'm not joking.
Look, just let me see what I can get out of him.
Okay. Stay close.
Thank you.
Emma takes out a flashlight and walks down the path alone.
Sherman.
She glances around under the trees.
Sherman, are you here? Sherman, where are you?
Emma ducks out of the way as an owl swoops low. Then, she continues walking.
Sherman? Connor, you better be behind me.
I'm behind you.
Something ahead catches Emma's eye.
Connor!
Connor dashes up and pauses. He crouches. Sherman lays face down in the grass below. Connor notices a fresh stab wound, still bloody. Connor stands and glances at Emma. They both look down at the body with concern. Emma and Connor watch as the police examine Sherman's body.
This man's also been stabbed in the back. I'd call that an even more suspicious death.
Does it appear to be the same type of blade that killed Professor Webster?
Hard to say for certain until I can perform an autopsy, but it looks like it to me.
Still no sign of that dagger.
We haven't had a murder in this town in over 10 years. Now we've had two in the same week.
We're gonna find who's responsible for this.
Several officers shine lights in the field around. Daytime at the castle. Connor approaches Perry in the halls.
Miss Quinn!
She turns, clutching her tablet.
Agent Connor.
I just wanted to ask you a few questions about Sherman Erlington.
Poor Sherman.
You were close?
Well, no, but he was the life's blood of this house. He did his best to maintain it.
He was trying to tell us something, and I think it may have something to do with Bray's father's death.
Well, it was sudden.
And suspicious. Sherman believed that Bray may have been involved.
Bray? Mm-hmm. Oh, that's absurd. He couldn't have ever thought that. A
nearby axe falls from a suit of armor on display nearby. Perry gapes.
That's the curse. I could be next.
Connor watches Perry dash off. Emma enters the basement, removing her jacket, beside Carrie and Joe. Adele stands at a table drinking coffee.
Now that the police are done here, it's time to make this place more accessible. You want to join in?
Well,
come on. You said you were supposed to do more than just observe. Work. All right. What do you think? Here?
That looks good.
Yeah?
Yeah, that's good.
Adele puts safety glasses on. Emma uses a sledgehammer to break through the brick wall. As they continue working to knock the brick wall down, a gloved hand appears, reaching toward Emma's jacket, laying on the table. It removes Emma's phone from a pocket and disappears. A medical examiner exits a building labeled County Courthouse. Connor approaches.
Hey, Mr. President. Can I ask you a question?
Agent Connor, yes.
It's about Walden Chandler's death.
Old man Chandler?
Yeah.
That was 3 years ago. Found in the woods behind the castle, died from a fractured skull.
Fractured from the fall?
Possibly. I can't say how the blow happened, only that it killed him.
Could he have sustained the blow before he fell?
Maybe, but he was old. It's not uncommon for the elderly to have a fatal fall.
But you're not sure?
Well, I'm not a detective. That's your job.
How did Bray Chandler react to it?
He said it must have been his time.
It's not much of a reaction.
After years of being away, Bray showed up the day after his father's death. He arrived just in time to take over the castle and his inheritance.
And you think that's suspicious?
Well, as I said, I'm not a detective. But if Walden was killed?
Bray Chandler would be the prime suspect. He'd have plenty of reason to kill Webster and Sherman to keep them quiet.
See, that's why I'm glad I'm not a detective.
At least you didn't blame the Chandler curse.
Well, I can understand why people believe it.
Really?
That fire that burned down the original Chandler house, it killed Corvus's father. And Corvus himself died falling down a flight of stairs. Not one of the Chandler heiresses died a natural death.
Okay. Thanks.
They separate and walk away in opposite directions. Now, as Joe and Carrie continue working, Adele and Emma stand in the tomb. Emma reads from the journal.
So, what do you think? Okay, Abigail was in Samuel Chandler's employ in 1689. Samuel accused her of witchcraft. She vowed revenge on him and the entire Chandler family. She called on the stone-throwing spirit to do her bidding. And this is ridiculous.
What do you mean? It's so dramatic.
You know what? No, it's too dramatic. It's too perfect. It's like a movie. This is what people think that witchcraft was like in New England.
Exactly. It's terrific.
No, it's like this scrying mirror. Like, I've never seen a scrying mirror. I've read about them, but never a primary source. It's always a second person account. It's...
Emma pauses, holding the scrying mirror.
Carrie, what... Would you come here?
Emma holds up a magnifying glass.
Would you look at that? Do you see that?
Oh, no.
You see that, don't you? How highly polished that is?
What? It's polished using a buffer. An electric one.
And that means... Well, it means it was placed here in the 20th or 21st century.
And that means...
This whole find might be a hoax.
Adele's face falls. Now, they exit the room. Emma puts her jacket on.
So, you really think it's a hoax?
I'm not saying that. Just that there are questions.
Just when I think we had something. I had a whole press release written up. I gotta go make some calls.
The truth is what it is, even when it's inconvenient. Where's my cell phone?
Oh, here it is.
Oh, thanks. I have a feeling. Oh, yeah, I'll be right there.
Now, Emma walks outside on the garden path. Connor crouches under a tree.
Emma.
What's going on?
Shh. It's a stakeout.
What for?
No, it's for the rock tower.
Why?
Well, we don't have many leads. And if it's not a spirit throwing the rocks.
I know it.
What? I want to find out who it is.
Emma and Connor crouch together, with the tent in full view nearby. Joe works inside.
The eagle has landed.
Does that mean someone's thrown rocks?
Yeah.
Please just say that next time.
Connor and Emma dash out and run out into the field.
It came from behind those trees.
They turn the corner, followed by Joe. They find a large stack of stones. hand picks one up.
Adele?
Adele fidgets. In the downtown village, Emma and Connor walk along the sidewalk together.
I can't believe you arrested Adele.
She's not under arrest. She's under suspicion.
Oh, please.
Well, you saw her. She was throwing rocks.
I didn't see her throw rocks. Did you see her throw rocks?
We saw her holding the rocks.
Circumstantial evidence.
Are you a lawyer now?
I want to talk to her.
Okay, we'll talk to her together.
Fine. Why?
Well, maybe she'll open up to you.
Okay. But I think she was framed. I definitely don't think she threw those rocks.
In the station.
I threw some rocks.
What?
I only threw a couple, like two or three.
I thought you wanted me to.
Me? Yeah, you sent me that text. Go to the woods, do what you need to do for publicity.
I never sent you a text.
But you did. Here.
Can I see that?
Well, yeah.
Adele hands Connor her own phone.
Who sent this text from your phone?
I don't know. I mean, I know that's my phone, but I don't understand. I never sent that text.
Was your phone out of your sight anytime this afternoon?
No. Well, sort of. We were excavating and the phone was in my jacket pocket.
But did you have a pass lock on it, a code?
I find them annoying.
Perfect.
But why would throwing rocks be what you need to do for publicity?
Well, you said you were going to prove the curse was a hoax, and then that would ruin my plan for publicity for the castle. So I thought, you know, I'll go throw some rocks, a few harmless rocks, and maybe people will think maybe the curse is real.
I did it for the sake of tourism.
Oh, Adele.
I never threw any before. Really, I didn't. I don't know who threw those. That was my first time.
Adele Fisher, I'm placing you under arrest for the murders of Thomas Webster and Sherman Arlington.
What?
I found this in your room.
The chief holds up a dagger.
If you can stand, please.
Adele stands. The chief escorts her out.
You have the right to remain silent. Anything you say can and will be.
Connor and Emma walk outside.
She didn't do it.
What? Okay, then why was the knife in her room?
Somebody set her up. What about the text?
She could have sent that to herself.
Why on earth would she do that?
Well, to make it look like she got framed.
What did she do?
Listen, outside of mystery novels, hardly anyone ever gets framed. I mean, in life, if it looks like you did it, generally you did it.
But why would she do it? Why would she kill Sherman?
He knew that she killed Webster.
But why would she kill Webster?
I don't know, because they hated each other. I mean, they perpetrated a hoax together and, you know, maybe they had a disagreement. Listen, look, if she's the killer, then, you know, she's locked up. And if she's innocent, well, then at least she's safe in there. Angry, but safe.
What do we do?
I need to do some more digging. You think everything in the hidden chamber is a fraud?
I can't say yet. Maybe some of it's real. Definitely not all.
Who's capable of pulling off a hoax like that?
Webster.
Webster? Why would he do it?
Fame, attention, money.
A lot of money in archaeology?
There's a market for anything rare.
It's time for us to visit an old friend of mine.
Okay.
They walk off together. Inside Collectors 2, the shopkeeper dusts some items in the back.
Just a minute. Just a minute.
Emma and Connor step inside.
You again.
Hey, Trap. How you doing? I want to introduce you to my friend, Professor Emma Fielding. We came by to take a look at that merchandise you're holding for me in the back. Be my guest.
Emma walks to the back of the store. Connor pulls out a photo of Bray.
So, you're sure that this is the guy that brought this stuff in?
It's him, all right.
Yeah? Not him.
A photo of Sherman.
Nope, never saw him before.
A photo of Webster.
What about him?
Professor Webster? Nope, haven't done business with him in a while.
You know Professor Webster?
I knew him. He died, haven't you heard?
Yeah, we heard. How are you acquainted with him?
Well, I don't just deal in stolen goods, you know. I'm also a legitimate businessman with several legitimate businesses.
Such as?
I broker deals.
What kind of deals?
Between people who have interesting items and people who want interesting items. It's all legal and above board. At least I thought it was.
Oh, you're going to have to explain that.
The professor would supply me with historical artifacts that had questionable provenance for select clientele.
Articles stolen from museums?
I don't ask where they're from. I'm just what you would call a conduit for
certain wealthy people with a taste for history.
What went wrong?
Well, maybe you better talk to Victor Bradford.
Victor Bradford.
Now, Emma and Connor stand inside a large house in the countryside. In the living room, among the couch and tables, are several antique artifacts and statues.
Wow.
Yeah. Wow. Seems like a pretty impressive collection.
Yeah, some of these things could be in a museum. Really, they should be in a museum.
Yes, I've been told that. Sebastian tells me you're someone I'd very much like to meet. Was he right?
Emma Fielding.
Professor Fielding, yes, of course. Well, I have followed your work somewhat throughout the years. It's an honor for me to share my treasures with a scholar of your renown. Please allow me to show you my collection.
Oh.
Victor walks ahead.
That's him.
Who?
The guy who was fighting with Webster the day he was killed.
Victor's living room wall.
Now these are marvels. An actual piece of the Mayflower's figurehead, a set of Paul Revere spoons, and a saddle once owned by George Washington. Treasures of American history.
Wow, Sebastian said you had a remarkable collection.
Yes, well, Sebastian's not the most reliable source, but he has his ear to the ground. He tipped me off to many of the items I've collected over the years.
What about Thomas Webster?
Professor Webster. Terrible thing that was.
Mm-hmm.
Terrible. But yes, he himself supplied me with many lovely pieces over the years. A wonderful relationship.
Why'd you have a fight with him the other day?
The other day?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't.
You did. I'm the one who ran into at Chandler Castle.
Oh, yes, of course. Well, you see, the thing is, Webster was a bit of a prickly fellow, and one was bound to have the occasional altercation with him from time to time. It was nothing serious.
Emma glances at a rolled-up document in a tube with ink script.
What's that?
Victor picks it up.
Oh, that's nothing. Nothing at all. Nothing of note. I'm still waiting on the authentication. That was just something cheap that I picked up. I'm sure it's nothing.
That doesn't look like nothing.
I'm sorry, I didn't catch your credentials earlier. Mr.?
I'm Jim Connor, FBI, Antiquities Division. But don't worry, this isn't an official visit.
Victor glances at Emma. Now, standing near a food shack, Emma holds a salad, while Connor holds a chili dog.
We like that all the time.
Yeah, every chance I get. What do you only eat salad and vegetables?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's healthy.
Mm-hmm. Life's too short.
Yeah, it is a feat like that. So, what do we know so far?
Okay. Let's start with Bray Chandler.
Okay, we know he's been stealing his own priceless possessions.
Mm-hmm.
Why?
Tell me.
Well, he's fencing them and collecting the insurance. Two for the price of one.
Double dipping. Why?
Because he needs the money. He spent his inheritance.
Okay. What about Victor Bradford?
Well, he's definitely hiding something.
Yeah, we can agree on that.
The documents? I didn't get a very good look at them, but they looked like they were mid-17th century Anglo-American.
It certainly wasn't nothing.
Mm-mm. And it was in a shipping tube, like he'd just gotten it back from somewhere.
He said he was getting authenticated.
Mm-hmm.
If you had a mid-17th century Anglo-American document, who would you go to?
Professor Raymond Hopley at Harvard. He's considered the expert.
Connor takes out his phone.
Who are you calling?
Calling Harvard, Professor Hopley.
You can't just call Harvard. These are busy people. You have to make an appointment. What, do you have Harvard on speed dial?
Hi, this is Agent Tim Connor from the FBI. I need to speak to Professor Raymond Hopley. Uh-huh. Urgent matter, yes. Thank you.
Or you could just do that.
It's the FBI. Hello, Professor Hopley. I believe you may have authenticated a document for Mr. Victor Bradford. Oh, it was a forgery. Can you fill me in on the details, Professor?
Now, Emma and Connor stand on Victor's porch. He opens the door.
Ah, one more thing, Mr. Bradford. And this time, it is an official visit.
Connor flashes his badge. Now, in the kitchen.
This was to have been the cornerstone of my collection. My prized possession. The founding document of American governance.
the Mayflower Compact.
But that's impossible. There are no original copies of the Mayflower Compact.
That's what I thought until Professor Webster convinced me otherwise last year, to the tune of $100,000. I simply had to have it.
But it's a fake.
How do you know that?
Well, if it was found, the news feeds would be blowing up all over America. You couldn't keep it quiet. It's too big a part of American history.
You see, I wanted to believe so badly, I allowed my heart to run away with my head. My ancestors came over on the Mayflower. I'm a direct descendant of William Bradford. To own a document like this would be like closing a circle of heritage for my family.
Well, you must have had it authenticated.
Yes, of course, by experts. I had the parchment analyzed. I had the ink evaluated by one of the nation's leading authorities. It all checked out. And then, about a year after I bought it, the ink started to run.
He shows a smudge.
I couldn't believe it. After almost 400 years, the ink now starts to run. So I had another authority analyze it.
That's Professor Hopley at Harvard?
Yes, that's right. And he had a much different answer. The ink contained oils native only to South America. The parchment had been aged artificially. It was not the Mayflower Compact. I'd been had.
How did the first experts get it so wrong?
Maybe because the first set of experts split the money with Webster.
Why didn't you report that to the police?
Victor rolls his eyes.
Because you were too humiliated to be taken in by such an obvious fraud. You would have been a laughingstock.
I preferred to handle this more quietly, so I went to Professor Webster. I demanded that he return the money to me, and he laughed. So I gave him an ultimatum. I told him either he'd have the money from me by the end of the week or there would be hell to pay. The end of the week came around and he had nothing. And he didn't care. He challenged me to go to the authorities so that I would look like an idiot.
You were angry.
Yes, I was.
Angry enough to kill him?
Of course not.
Emma and Connor stare at Victor, pondering. Now, Emma and Connor walk out of Victor's house into his driveway.
Why didn't you arrest Bradford? Didn't you see his eyes?
What, killer eyes?
Yes!
Well, unfortunately, there's no foolproof ophthalmological method of spotting murderers.
Oh.
Besides, he claimed he was at an estate sale when the murder happened. So I think I should go look into that.
Corroborate his alibi?
Aha! Now you're learning. Pursue all avenues. The one of them leads to the truth. But what else does Bradford's story tell us?
Okay, Webster was a scam artist.
Yeah.
And the hoax at Chandler Castle was one of his scams.
How does that make him money?
It wouldn't.
Unless someone was paying him to do it.
Well, but if he made all that money conning Bradford, why would he need more?
Trust me, the one thing I understand as an FBI agent, people don't commit crimes because they need money. They commit crimes because they want more. So tell me, who would pay Webster to create the hoax?
Bray Chandler. He was broke, totally out of money. He was selling the castle to the trust. And he needed it to be more valuable so he could charge more money.
But if Bray had no money, then how would he pay Webster?
Well, maybe that's why he was selling off his antiquities. Why do you get to ask all the questions?
Because I'm the FBI. That's what I do. Besides, I like the way you think.
Thank you.
If you have any questions for me, just go ahead.
Any questions?
Mm-hmm. Well, within reason.
How'd you get shot?
Connor freezes, shaking his head. Then gets into his car. Emma gets inside and puts on a seatbelt.
I was investigating a counterfeiting ring. I got myself cornered in this old warehouse with some criminals. And my contact was a federal agent who was undercover with the gang.
Really, do that sort of thing?
Yeah. All the time. Anyway, she intervened to help me and, you know, blew her cover.
Her cover?
Well, let me finish.
Sorry.
So, you know, things got pretty hairy from there. There was a lot of gunfire. But it was my fault that she blew her cover, so I was not going to let her take a bullet for that.
So you saved her?
Yeah, the way I see it, she saved me. Any more questions?
No.
Oh,
Good. I'm gonna go check out Bradford's alibi. So, you want me to drop you off at the castle?
There's a question I never thought I'd hear.
Yeah.
Connor pulls away. Elsewhere, outside a large house, Connor approaches a young woman in a blazer holding a clipboard.
Hey, excuse me. Is this the Peterson estate sale?
Oh, we'll be. We don't open to buyers until tomorrow.
Oh, tomorrow? Oh, must have the date wrong. Are you the owner of the estate?
Oh, no. As a matter of fact, I'm running this sale for the estate company, Eleanor Lawton.
Hi, Jim Connor. You know, usually when I miss an appointment, it's a bad thing, but... Well, at least I met you.
Oh. Can I help you with anything else?
Oh, no. I mean, not unless you've seen Victor Bradford. I'm supposed to meet him here.
Oh, Victor. He comes to all the estate sales, but he won't be here until tomorrow.
Tomorrow. You know, this happened last week. I missed him at the Anderson estate sale.
Oh, what a shame. He made several large purchases.
He did. He was there. Okay. All right, I'll see you around.
Connor turns and walks off, leaving Eleanor gaping. Later, at the castle, Connor gets out of his car. Emma stands outside.
Well?
Bradford's alibi checked out. Killer's eyes notwithstanding.
Where does that leave us?
What about him?
Nearby, Bray enters the castle.
You think Bray's our man?
It's a theory.
Yeah, you think he killed his father, too?
It's a terrible thought.
It is. And then he would have had to kill Sherman to stop him from giving you proof.
And he killed Webster?
It could be.
Can you prove it?
No. Are you kidding me? I'm a long way from proving anything.
What are you going to do?
Connor pulls Emma inside. Bray walks down a hallway alone. Connor and Emma appear from the foyer staircase.
Hey, Bray! You got a second? Want to ask you something.
Of course. Anything for the FBI. What would you like to know?
Well, we were just wondering. Did you kill Professor Webster?
What?
What about Sherman Arlington? Did you kill him too?
Is this a joke?
And your father?
Did you kill him?
Okay, that's not funny.
Oh, but the first two were.
What are you talking about?
We know that you've been selling things off from the house.
That doesn't make me a murderer, okay? I want you out of this house right now.
No, she hasn't finished her research.
Yeah, the research is over.
What was that supposed to accomplish?
Bray storms off.
If he's guilty, he'll show his hand.
What if he's innocent?
Then I just got you fired.
Thanks for that. I'm gonna go take another look downstairs. You know, in case it's my last chance.
I'm gonna go follow Bray.
They separate. The portrait of Corvus hanging nearby. Downstairs, in the cellar, Emma stands behind the brick wall. The journal is open to a drawing of an owl. An 8-pointed star is carved into a brick. Emma blows on the pestle and looks closer at it. Now, she picks up the mortar and turns it upside down. She runs her hands over it, wearing rubber gloves. She pauses, pondering, then puts the mortar down. She pulls off the rubber gloves, then takes out her phone, dialing.
This is Jim Connor. Leave a message.
Connor, it's me. I know who the murderer is. Meet me in the crypt.
She puts the phone away. On the underside of the mortar is a small marking. The electric lights in the crypt go out. Emma turns around. A shadow passes behind her. She picks up the pestle and starts creeping toward the hole in the brick. Out in the cellar, she glances around. Perry appears from the stairwell, creeping in slowly.
Perry.
Emma.
What are you doing? I thought you didn't like exploring down here. What with the curse and all? Or should I say hoax? It's a good one. All the finds were old, genuinely old, although they weren't found here. that were collected and placed here by someone who knew how.
Who?
Oh, I don't have to tell you. You supplied the artifact, didn't you? From your ancestral home.
Oh, my ancestors weren't witches.
Of course not. That's why Professor Webster had to add all the writing on the wall and alter the artifacts just a little bit to make it convincing.
Okay, that's ridiculous.
Although he didn't do a very good job. There was a mark on the mortar, the letter Q for Quinn, your last name.
Why on earth would I do that?
That's what I couldn't figure out. You wouldn't benefit from the sale of the castle or from increasing the value with the hoax. Only Bray would.
That's right.
Yeah. And then I got it. You're in love with Bray. You try to hide it, but it eats you up inside.
Don't be ridiculous.
You knew that Bray was in financial trouble, that he was selling his antiques and saying they'd been stolen.
So what if I knew?
You thought if you engineered the sale of Chandler Castle, you could help Bray. And if you built up this idea of a curse, then you could turn the castle into a real tourist attraction. And you could help Bray. And then Bray would be grateful. And he'd notice you. And you could win his heart.
Oh, that is very romantic of me.
Do you think so? I think it's kind of sad.
Besides, how could I get Professor Webster to help me?
Oh, you offered to pay him. But then, I think he probably demanded more money, so you killed him.
Go on, this is very interesting.
Well, what better way to cement the idea of a curse than with a mysterious death?
And I suppose I killed Sherman too.
Perry switches a light off.
How come? Most simple. I think he figured out it was a hoax and he was gonna tell me.
Did I throw the rocks too?
Yeah. And I think you hid the knife in Adele's room and tried to frame her because you were jealous of all the attention Bray was always paying her.
You're making me sound like a crazy person.
No, I think you are. I think only a crazy person would think they could hoodwink the entire archaeological community. And I think Webster knew that. He was playing you. He was making the hoax last as long as he could so he could milk you for all he could. He thought he was clever. But he didn't know what he was dealing with, did he?
No. And I don't think you do either. You might say you're too smart for your own good.
Perry steps forward.
Looks like we'll have to chalk up another death to Abigail's curse.
Perry pulls out a gun and aims it at Emma. Outside, Connor chases Bray.
Hey, hold on. Hold on a minute.
Why should I?
Because I'm the FBI and I can find you wherever you go.
Look, I didn't do it. Okay, I know I look guilty. I always look guilty. This is just how I look.
I don't think you killed anybody. But I think you know who did.
I don't. Okay, I'm not that smart. I was just born rich. If it wasn't for Perry, I'd be living on the streets.
Well, Perry.
Yes, she has the brains. It was her idea to report the stuff missing and to claim the insurance money.
Where is she now?
I don't know.
Hey, come on. Come on.
They dash off together.
Do you think anybody's gonna think Abigail's using a .38 for her curse now?
No. But they'll believe the curse made you commit suicide. Oleander. Just like they used to use in the old days. Quick and painless.
Perry produces a vial.
Sorry. You're gonna have to shoot me. How are you gonna explain that?
Well, I'll be a little inconvenienced at first, but you'll definitely be dead.
Emma removes the pestle from her pocket and tosses it at Perry. It hits her in the face. Perry drops the gun, and Emma dashes at her. They roll on the floor, grappled. Perry stands first, followed by Emma, who pushes Perry into a shelf. They continue fighting. Perry holds the gun. Emma reaches for Perry's arm, and they struggle. Emma restrains Perry's arm on a nearby table as Connor and Bray enter. The gun fires, and Bray falls to the ground.
Bray!
Oh.
What?
How could you?
It was the curse. It was Abigail's curse.
You killed them.
No.
You killed them.
I did it for you.
You're under arrest. Stand up.
Bray!
You have the right to remain silent. Anything you say can and will be used against you in a court of law.
Okay. You're gonna be okay.
Emma crouches over Bray. Connor restrains Perry's hands. Daytime. Outside the castle, Connor and Emma walk through the garden.
Didn't Adele look so happy to be out of jail?
Yeah. You know, Bray's gonna be okay. He's gonna have serious back pain for the rest of his life.
He'll probably get jail time himself for all that insurance fraud.
You know, it'll be good for him. Maybe it'll make him grow up a little bit.
You know, Perry did all of that for love.
Yep.
Throwing all those rocks, making all those weird noises in the night.
She even arranged for that close call with the axe to convince us of the curse.
She killed two men, mm-hmm. all for unrequited love.
It's one of the three motives of murder: revenge, money, and love.
I think it's the saddest motive.
Wow, didn't think you were such a romantic.
It's been nice working with you again.
Yes. Yes, it has.
In spite of the danger and tragedy and all.
We should really try hanging out together when there's not a murder involved.
It'd be a nice change. You know, I do have one question.
Only one?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. What really happened with Bray's father? Was he murdered or not?
I don't think Perry killed him.
No, I don't either.
So either it was an accident like they thought, or...
Or?
The curse.
I know.
No. No.
They smile at each other.
See you around, Agent Connor.
I'll see you around, Professor.
Emma turns to walk off.
Hey. We should probably have a coffee sometime together.
Consult?
Yes, exactly. Consult.
Be nice.
Emma smiles and walks back toward the castle. Connor walks off in a different direction. Above in the tree they were chatting under, an owl sits perched on a branch.